Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day. And we're best friends. Four years. I just realized that.
Yeah. Wow. It's true. It's 2022. You're right.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I'm so proud of us.
I know.
We love doing the podcast. It's a labor of love, you know.
It is.
So thanks for writing to us, folks. And thanks for listening to us. Obviously, there'd be no show without you. So this week we have a favorite topic of ours. Why do I love the narcissist? Why don't you go ahead and read it, Jess?
I actually need to get some water. Could you read it?
Oh, sure. Sorry. She has already read it, of course, but... Hi, ladies. I recently listened to your podcast about why we pick crappy friends. Just wanted to express gratitude for how well this was detailed and addressed. Whoever the person who wrote this in was, I empathize with her deeply and hope she's healing well. I'm thankful you guys highlighted that it's not something wrong with you. It's some unaddressed tendencies. I know ultimately it is a therapist question. However, your show is healing in and of itself because awareness is therapeutic as well. If you guys address how to handle a narcissist pattern, please let me know. The pattern, as you've said in your show, began with my mom and then trickled down into my love life and friendship life. I'm a giver and I love being a giver, but I am exhausted in realizing that after a while I am drained and left disappointed. Expectations have been lowered to a very standard level of human decency, but I've still seen the narcissist show up in what seems to be a harmless person. Luckily, I found a man to love who is the farthest thing from a narcissist, but it wasn't until I had stopped romanticizing the narcissist male and was fed up. I gave the nice, seemingly boring guy a chance, and he's the most selfless, nurturing, and truly giving person I have ever met. Narcissists are so well hidden, and nowadays they seem to be all over the place, making me their daycare provider, dog sitter, emotional dumping ground, and I am exhausted. So although it is psychotherapy ground, so to speak, please do a show on how to recognize the narcissist and how to build a good enough radar to know them even before you've formed any kind of a tie. I will probably spend the rest of my life seeking ways to serve others because it brings me so much joy. But I feel like I can do this while retaining power, and that would be fantastic. Besides boundaries, what else can I do? Thank you. Signed, and I'm going to give a new name, No More. That's her new name.
Got it. I was choking to death. I apologize.
No, that's fine. I feel like you're right. Narcissists are very well hidden, and unfortunately, you don't get to recognize that until you have a tie with them. So
that's how they do it.
Yeah, that's how they do it. They reel you in.
Yeah.
And so what you have to do is once you see that red flag, the party's over. You know how this will end. It's happened to you all these times before. And I will say that we are drawn to the types of people that we knew in our childhood to try to repeat that relationship, but this time get it right.
Mm-hmm.
With narcissists, you will never get it right. They're
never
right. They are broken people.
They are. So, but the good things about them that I found anyway is that the minute you throw up a boundary, they realize, and it's one they realize they can't cross, they will back off really hard.
They're done with you. You no longer.
They are. They want easier prey. You see?
Right.
They want easier prey. So.
And you might say, like, look, we just need to, you know, this, do this, that, and that. And like, you know what? I'm out. So
exactly.
You're not going to break their hearts because their hearts are made of stone.
True.
So we have a long, fun list of ways to spot a narcissist.
Right.
And you've got it pulled up and ready. Go for it, Jess.
I will start. So number one on the list is the love bomb, which everyone I'm sure has felt. So all of a sudden you're the most charming, interesting, funny, successful person. And the most funny, charming, interesting, successful person is interested in you. They'll be charming and thrilled around you. They will listen intently to anything and everything you have to say. They'll start mirroring you. After listening to you, they will speak of having the same likes and dislikes and interests as you. You will be inundated with texts, gifts, calls, surprises, swept off your feet. This is key. You're going to think, wow, I have never had anyone treat me like this before. That's the narcissist.
And also, wow, I can't believe she wants to be friends with little old me.
Right.
You know, let's just say like, you know, famous rock star and I'm just a sound tech and all of a sudden, you know, she wants to hang out with me. It's because you'll find out your job is to admire. So
yeah.
The second thing is you start feeling at the same level. They're going to praise you, call you attractive, like they're the prize winner because you are their friend. They're going to put you on a pedestal and it feels good, right? And at this stage, you are completely besotted. Like, where has this friend been all of your life? How is it that they don't have other friends who are like in line to be their friends? And I have experienced this myself. Like, wow, you're so fantastic. How come you don't have women friends?
And we've talked about this in the book a bunch of times. There's your red flag. It's not always the person is a narcissist who doesn't have friends, but there's a red flag that you need to pay attention to. And the fact that you're marveling over how fabulous this person is and how no one has seen it and how you have been gifted with the gift of this person's fabulous personality, that is also a red flag that you need to pay attention to.
Yeah.
So the third one on the list is, coincidentally, they have no real friendships. And this, they say, is because they've never met anyone like you, Kristen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're so proud. You are the only one who understands me.
Yep. You are unlike all of the ex-best friends who betrayed them in some way and broke their hearts.
Yes.
So that's another thing. The friends in the rear view, we call it, you know, all those bodies littered on the road of their life.
Right.
But they say, like, you're not like this at all.
Mm-hmm. And number five is they will paint themselves as the victim while making sure to tell you how different you are from all their past friends and partners.
Right.
And you legit start feeling like, well, I can fix this person because I can do this and I can do that.
I'm going to be so good to this person. I will show her why, you know, what friendship is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
And all those terrible people who've done her wrong in the past, I will wipe the slate clean.
Okay. Yes.
And of course, then you start to learn they're really not terrible people. And they are estranged from their parents and siblings, family.
Yeah.
If you ever encounter someone who says, "Yeah, no longer speak to anyone in my family," make sure it's because it was the Manson family. They were beaten and locked in a cellar for 3 years.
Right.
Because people who don't see their families at all are red flags.
Yeah.
In 99% of the situations.
Right.
They have washed their hands of the people who knew them best.
Right.
And that's a red flag.
Big time. Another red flag is they have a grandiose picture of their success and talents, which is not supported by any action or any fact. So I've done this, I am this, I'm the best at that. And yet when you walk into their house, you see none of that.
Right. You know, like a very common example of this is Donald Trump saying, "I know more than the generals. I am the only one who can fix this. I am the smartest person in the world. Right. I'm the best businessman in the world. Don't just ignore all my bankruptcies and failed businesses." Right.
Right. Right.
So, you know, he's kind of like the poster child for narcissism.
Right.
Eventually you're going to learn that they have something negative to say about everyone, their coworkers, their cousins, the waitress who just served you. No one can ever live up to their standards of perfection.
And be careful, because they might relay that information in a kind of gossipy way, which makes you feel like you're in on a secret.
Yeah.
Right. And kind of draws you in.
Right. I feel like I don't tell this to anyone else, but.
Yeah. But, you know, I know this about this, but it's still negative and it's still something you should pay attention to.
And be careful not to be seduced by that.
Right.
Because if, you know, they're going to trash talk someone and they'll say, like, I'm never tell anyone else this, but, you know,
yeah,
you're so special and different that you will keep my secrets.
Right. And they lie. Yep. So watch for the inconsistencies. They will pop up. Was it their younger sister or was it the cousin who was so mean to them or so horrible to them? So mm-hmm. keep an eye out for that.
Right. Right. They don't fit in with groups unless they're being celebrated. And even then it's not enough.
Yeah.
So this is the kind of person who has to be the loudest person at the party, has to have an audience, you know, hold forth, and they still won't have a good time. It's never enough.
Right. Something will always be wrong. I agree. And they hate having to witness other people's triumphs. So that person who, say something really fun and great happens to you and they can't be happy for you, gotta be on the lookout for that.
Yeah. There's that wonderful quote, pay attention who doesn't clap when you win.
There it is.
The great Robin Carr, who's a dear friend of mine, says, it's easy to be friends with someone when their life is problematic. It's harder when their life is going great.
True.
And I know that, like, for example, a friend of mine got her master's degree and she was like the valedictorian of the class or whatever they have, you know, summa cum laude. And she was asked to give a speech at their graduation as like the all around best student. And her spouse, who was at my table, was seething the entire time.
Really?
Seething. And you'd think like, hey, this is your wife, you should be happy. Uh-uh.
No. There you go.
No, I'm happy to say.
They may drop you abruptly and then pretend nothing odd happened.
Right. This is part of the gaslighting.
Yes.
Right? It's yeah. Like, hey, how are you? Like, oh, I've called you 3 times and texted you 7 times. Really? I didn't mm-hmm. know. How are you? You look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you start to think, what's going on, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They are perfect. Everyone else is wrong. See mm-hmm. Donald Trump. you know, see my brother for that matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, everyone is always in the wrong. And if only everyone could be exactly like them.
Right. They are the victim of everyone and everything that happened in their life. They are the poor babies. There's a violin playing every time they tell right. you a story about how they've been wronged and victimized.
Right. So you know, a narcissist is not going to be able to say, yeah, I really screwed up my first marriage. It was all on me. It's going to yeah. be, she was horrible. She didn't understand. I did everything for her and she didn't appreciate me.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
They are very controlling and jealous, and it always feels like they're suspicious of you, right? Where were you? Why didn't you call me? It's like, though they can leave 20 calls unanswered, but if they call you, why didn't you call back?
Yes.
With someone else? Do you have other friends? Why was I included?
Right.
Your role is to be their admirer. And I know you can speak to this, Joss.
Oh yeah. I mean, and it's also to be their admirer and not admire anyone else. And right. so, you know, if you're with someone else who is your friend and the narcissist finds out, you're only supposed to be admiring them, which is quickly followed up with this person. They know a secret about this person that makes them really terrible.
Right.
Right. So they'll always have something negative to say about the person that you're hanging out with, you know, as if to say, this is why you shouldn't be with this person and only be with me because I'm the best.
Right.
Ties into these things that we've been talking about before here.
Right. And also, if you say, go away with your college friends for the weekend and you get back home and you say to your narcissistic friend, we had the best time. Oh my gosh. I got to tell you about this funny thing that happened to Joss while we were, you know, parasailing. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
She gives you the cold shoulder. Like, yeah, I'd like to talk right now, but my cat is very sick. Goodbye.
Yes. Yes.
Back to me being the victim.
Yes. They push you to trust them, to love them, to believe them, to be with them. Insta besties. I've never had a friend like you. No one has ever understood them like you do. You are the one thing life has been missing. In these statements, they are training you to know your place. Be perfect for me as I define perfect. So yeah. True.
Yep.
So true.
Another red flag. You've never met anyone else in their life.
Right.
Who are their friends? Where's their friend from childhood, high school, college? Right. Where are their work friends, siblings, you know, neighbors? Generally, you don't have contact with those people because those people have figured this person out.
Right, right. They have to know everything about you and where you're at and who you're with and when you'll be back. But they'll never offer that same information about them if you ask. They're aloof and vague about it. Or they even get prickly about it, like you don't have the right to ask them this, even though they've been pestering you for this information.
I had a narcissistic friend, and she was very well camouflaged. Mm-hmm. But I remember we were supposed to meet for a meal, and she was late, and I was, you know, saying, hey, when are you going to come? And no answer, no answer, no answer. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, one time I had to reschedule, and it was all like, well, why? Who are you going to be with? You know, very irritable and, sort of angry. Like, I don't care that I did this to you or that these things happen. It's not supposed to happen with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The next one is they enrage easily, road rage, impatience with strangers, irritability with waiters or customers. Someone who definitely is quick to anger, has a really short fuse. And then the anger is explosive. Oftentimes it's like, it doesn't, whatever the crime was, doesn't warrant the level of anger that you're seeing.
Right. Right. They, and you know, anyone who can't control their temper, stay away from that person.
100%.
It's a sign of emotional immaturity, lack of control. It's like pre-abuse. Mm-hmm. If you have a friend who slams the door so hard the house shakes, that person is abusive right there. Yeah, showing right you there. Your physical strength in the use of damaging something.
Right.
That's a warning. Okay. Yeah. Not to say they're going to like beat you as a friend, but if a guy you were dating did that or a woman you were dating did that,
walk out.
The end. And I have a friend, who was dating this nice guy. She's in her 50s. He was in her 50s. Knew him a long time. He got mad at her one night for something really small. Mm-hmm. Like, she had to pick up a kid or something like that. He got furious and she was like, we're done.
Yeah.
And she said, there was no question, no hesitation, no, let me explain, honey, I'm sorry. She was like, nope. Mm-hmm. You're dead to me now. Yeah. And it was so smart, saved her so much time and
so much
thought and stuff. She was like, yeah, no, it was just like he was erased.
Yeah.
Another huge sign of a narcissist is they have no empathy. So say your sister breaks her leg because she fell on the ice. Your friend is going to say, oh my gosh, she's so clumsy. Or why did she even go out? It was so icy. Mm-hmm. Or you might say, well, she's overweight because she's lazy, or they're stupid because they're from a certain state, or, you know, that person cheated. That's how she got the promotion. Mm-hmm. They have no gentle feelings for other people.
And, or you, to be honest, or you, because I've seen it where, you know, you're killing yourself doing tasks for this narcissist, running around like, almost to the point where you can't even get anything done for yourself. And you say to the narcissist, hey, I really need help doing this. And they have no, I've helped you with this. Can you help me with this? They have no compassion whatsoever about that. No sense of equitability, nothing.
Right, right. And you would think that, you know, friends help each other in times of need, right? And, you know, friends can help each other in different ways. It doesn't mean, hey, I shingled your roof, now you have to shingle mine. And, you know, we all have different skills and stuff, but they are just not interested in what you need.
Right. They'll find an excuse.
Yeah. And, where are we here? If you're going through a hard time, they're very impatient. This goes back to lack of empathy. They're impatient for you to get back to what your real job is in their mind, admiring them, taking care of them.
Yes.
If you're slammed with work, they're going to be like, well, you know, we're supposed to have dinner on Tuesday night. They're not caring about you slammed at work.
No, they don't care. They think they're perfect, superior, the only one with the right answers. See Donald Trump from above.
Yeah.
I and I alone am right and can fix this, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. They can't ever admit their own flaws or wrongdoings. So if you call them on this, it will end up in a fight or a breakup or it one of those shitty apologies. I'm sorry you reacted that way to my completely perfect sentence, you know, of insult or something. You are not, you'll never get an apology for them.
Ever.
And because they don't see it, they honestly cannot see that they're at fault, that they did something. They just can't. I remember, when my brother, when I was engaged to McIrish, and, my brother came home and had one of his angry meltdowns and put a hole in my bedroom wall. And he went back to where he was living, and I wrote to him and I said, look, I'm getting married in December and I can forgive you for not coming to my wedding, but I won't forgive you for ruining my wedding. And his response was not, I'm sorry that I punched your wall. I'm sorry that I screamed at you. I'm sorry that I made everyone miserable this weekend. It was, tell me where to send my tux measurements.
Right, right. I love, isn't that interesting?
Right.
You know, oftentimes you can point out the flaws and it'll end up in this explosive anger. That's
right.
So, again, doesn't warrant the crime, doesn't warrant anything that you've said. And then a litany of all that you're doing wrong and all that's wrong with you.
Right, right.
Yeah. Never an apology, never. They trash talk others, even your friends and family. And if they don't yet, they will. It's true.
Yeah.
Everyone is terrible, even in your family, even in ways that's like really inappropriate. Like, why? You don't know my family. How are you talking about them like this?
Or your kid or something like
that. Or your kid or something like that.
Something that should be hands off and normal people would know, you know, don't tell Kristen her kid is stupid, right? You
know? Yeah.
They might not know that. They'll say like, oh, your kid's not very bright, is he?
Yeah. You
know, no one's going to respond well to that, right?
Right.
They don't know that because they don't have empathy. Once they love bombed you, now into the relationship, they're going to chisel away at your self-esteem. Oh, did you think that was good? Okay, well, good for you then, you know? Mm-hmm. If you think that looks good on you, fine. That's just not the color that I would choose for you. That's all I'm saying. You know, the subtle or sometimes really overt insults.
Yeah. Gaslighting.
They're trying to make you dependent on them and believe that they are always right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They are the authority on everything. Good food, clothes, style, acting, writing, best car. There is no end to their knowledge.
Right.
And conversely, everything that you know is not entirely correct.
Right.
Think about that.
They will never sit back and say, oh, Joss, tell me more about jazz. I would love to hear, you know, it's something you're very well versed on, Joss. They would never sit back and listen. They'd be like, well, actually, everyone thinks Miles Davis is a genius, but, and you know.
Yes.
You know, it's maddening. And they will never ask you your opinion. Oh, Kristen, you're a writer. You know, tell me about that. It'd be like, oh yeah, I want to write a book. And there goes the conversation about to write and never will.
Yes.
The last one is the biggest thing about narcissists is their sense of entitlement. The usual rules don't apply to them. They deserve it because they are them. Mm-hmm. They don't have to work for it or achieve it or build it from scratch. The usual rules of, like, say, you know, I'm going to work really hard at this promotion to get this promotion, or I'm going to earn this degree, or, you know, become better at baseball. It's no, that they should be the starting quarterback because they should be. And if you say, well, you know, you haven't completed a pass this whole season, they'll say, that's because everyone else sucks. Mm-hmm. You know, my receivers are stupid. My coach is stupid. If you know a narcissist, you're hearing these words, right? You've heard these words. You know, it's never their responsibility. It's always someone else who's at fault, and just it's their fault that they haven't achieved their greatness. It's going back to Donald Trump. It's, you know, oh, everyone cheated and lied and, you know, deceived at the polls. It could not have been that Joe Biden got more votes.
No, certainly not. I dated a narcissist. And one of the things that surprised me most about his entitlement was the small things that he felt entitled to. Like, he would steal the paper off his neighbor's stoop. Like, who does that?
Yeah.
Just buy it. The paper's a dollar or whatever it is.
A dollar, right.
Like, who does that? And he did it every day. And I thought, why would you do that? And I remember speaking to him about it and saying, just buy it. You know, you're going past one of the paper metal what do you call those things?
Dispensers or whatever.
Just grab one. He was like, yeah, okay. And never did it. Just kept continuing to steal the paper. And I was like, this is ridiculous. But it's something even that small.
Right.
Could be a major red flag of a personality flaw.
Was this the guy you were dating and you had maybe plans to get together on the weekend, and you said, you know, I feel awful. You had like a miserable cold or the flu, and you thought that he might say, oh, let me bring some soup over or something.
Yeah.
He just was like, okay, I'll do something else then.
Yeah, no, exactly.
That was the same. That was
exactly it. 100%. Everything that I did was not enough.
And it I do remember that was the last straw.
I just, you know, there were so many red flags, and the lies, you know, mounted up, because as they do as a narcissist, all of these things that we've mentioned in this list all were just starting to mount up. And I was like, come on. Right. And I was like, I'm done. I don't feel like doing this anymore. Right. It's not fun for me. And
you got love bombed too.
I got majorly loved bombed, and all of the things where he desperately wanted me to trust him so much so that he would say, tell me a secret. He used to say it all the time. And I don't have any secrets.
Yeah.
And I didn't have anything secretive to tell him, but he wanted to know because he wanted to have that information to use against me, I assume.
Yeah.
All of the things that we have on this list, estranged from family members.
Yeah.
All of that was all there. Those are all red flags.
Yeah. So I hope no more that this is helpful to you. I think that the best advice we can give is, once you see this red flag, step away.
Yeah.
Now, it can be that regular people will occasionally hog the conversation without being a narcissist, or they might say, like, well, actually, I actually do know a lot about this, so let me answer the question. But I think you can tell it's that lack of empathy and that sense of entitlement of, I deserve it because I'm me, not because I have any credentials, but just because I am who I am. Mm-hmm. I am my perfect self. And also that not caring about you and your issues, getting resentful when you start to win. So once that happens, there's really no coming back from that. Mm-hmm. Don't feel guilty about cutting ties with a narcissist. You're just going to save yourself a world of hurt.
So true. And keep in mind too, that the minute you call them out on one of their bad behaviors, not wanting to witness people's triumphs. Say they say something really nasty about someone who's done really well, and you say, hey, that was really harsh. don't be surprised if they turn around and walk right out the door, because they know that you're not going to be the person that they can groom and mold into who they need you to be.
You're their fan, and your job is to behave that way. Right. With sort of that unexpected narcissist friend that I had, the more I got to know her, the more I could see it. And then when I finally said, this is a problem, we were done. Mm-hmm. And it was just like the conversation, I was done to her. And she turned around and started gossiping about me and being very fake wounded about it. And it's basically because I said, this is not okay.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I did, because it was a very painful friendship breakup, because I was really dumb about it. I was really naive and I really put a lot of stock in the good times that we had. So one of the things I did was I blocked her from everything. Just like, I didn't need to keep poking at the scab there. Because that love bomb stuff is hard to get over. You think it really means something, those great times in the beginning. And how many of us have dated a guy and then the relationship is turned to dust and you think, but we had so much fun, but we loved each other so much. Why can't we go back to that? With a narcissist, there's never going back to that. Once you've seen behind the curtain, you're dead to them. They want nothing to do with you anymore. You are not fulfilling their role.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that brings us to a follow-up letter again that we got. And we really appreciate hearing from you guys because, we're just talking to each other on Zoom. We love hearing what you have to say and what you did with the advice. So go ahead, Joss. This isn't a follow-up letter.
This is not the follow-up. This is related to the narcissist.
Yes. Okay.
List. This letter writer writes, I love you guys. You are so awesome. Yeah. Quite a few years ago, a friend of mine and I talked to and exchanged texts with multiple times a day, cut off all communications because of my political views. My political views did not match the views of her and her husband. I told her I respected her decision, even though I thought that was extreme. A year later, she contacted me, told me how much she missed me and that she was wrong to cut me off. I cautiously accepted her apology, and over the next few years, we built up our friendship. Not quite to where it was before, because I've been burned already, right? Then COVID hit. Being the nice person I am, I called her on my way to the grocery store to see what I could pick up for her, since everyone was hunkering down. Somehow the discussion evolved into the definition of a virus. We all have our own educated definition. By the time I got back from the store, she called and went off on me like a Roman candle. I ended the conversation by saying I wasn't implying anything, apologized if I hurt her, and when she was ready to accept my apology to call me because I'm the bigger person. Well, it's been almost 2 years, and I hate to say it, but I do not miss her. I realized how much of my energy her friendship was using up. I have many other friends that flourish in my life. She was only one. I feel lighter without this past friendship. I realize friendships enhance your life, even in bad times. Not to pat myself on the back, but I am a very good friend to have. I am loyal and trustworthy and fun to be with, but I still find it hard to end friendships that have so much history. Signed, not missing much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for you. Yeah. There's a couple things in your letter that I wanted to address. This you and this friend have history, and history is important. People who knew you when, but they're not irreplaceable. They're not, you can say I grew up with her and no one else knew what it was like to play in that neighborhood. But, that was 20, 30, 50 years ago. So history is not a reason to keep friendship. You can still enjoy those memories without keeping that toxic person in your life. Then I just have to say this. I'm sorry. we all have our own educated definition of a virus. No, we do not. Epidemiologists get to define viruses.
Yes.
Not cousins, mechanics, wife's brother-in-law, right? So yeah. I'm sorry. We are getting into the weirdest world of, you know, who knows what. So
that made me twitch a little bit, a little twitch.
Science. One of Joss's and my very best friends is super scientist, married to a super scientist. Their children will invent time travel and
you know. So true.
You know, we have a lot of respect for the people who have put in the many, many years of very high level education. But, you know, you apologized to her and you had just offered to pick her up groceries, you know, and and she went off on a Roman candle. I wish you hadn't apologized to her. And you say, because I'm the bigger person, you know, I have done that too. Like, let me just end this conversation and say, like, look, I'm sorry. But I think as women, we apologize too much.
I was just about to say it.
Go for it.
As women, we apologize way too much.
I have a friend with very different political beliefs than I do. And sometimes we'll have a very calm conversation. She may call me and say, like, Kristen, tell me about how you feel about, say, Colin Kaepernick kneeling during the national anthem. And I will explain my feelings on peaceful protest, and she will explain her feelings on the sacredness of the flag. And I will talk about, you know, what it represents versus the piece of cloth. And we, at the end, will say, like, you know, well, we don't agree on this. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to. Does it keep us from being, you know, best friends? Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have a lot of the similar values and hobbies and stuff. But there are differences too. And so our friendship is where it is, and it's in a very nice place. You know, do I talk to her every month? I do not, but I send her a Christmas card and we talk a couple times a year, you know? So it's not like your friends have to be perfectly aligned with everything that you think.
True. I mean, you can't sort of, we've talked about this, a friend for every season, a friend for every reason. You can sort of maneuver a friendship where you don't agree like that into a place where it's fine that you're both friends and you know not to venture into this territory that might be a little sticky.
Yeah. Like, you know, maybe you're in the same neighborhood and you really enjoy your morning walks and talking about the view or, you know, the latest Netflix thriller. And that's enough. It doesn't have to be more than that, you know? So I do believe that you can have differences with people, different opinion, politics, religions, all that stuff, as long as there's respect. And it sounds like she has no respect for you.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
And this brings us, we're doing a third letter now, I think, because it just seems to match, Joss. So why don't we include that one too?
So this follow-up.
This is a follow-up. Okay.
The follow-up to a letter writer who's contacted us a couple of times now about her sister, who sounds like she might be a narcissist and has been very unsupportive, this sister. I've never, and just mean, I'm just downright mean, this woman. So our letter writer writes, "Hi, ladies. I've written to you several times before about my infertility issues and then about my crappy sister. First and most important, my baby girl was born on Labor Day and is the love of our lives. I'll attach a picture for you. And yes, she was born with a full head of hair." Listeners, this baby is the cutest baby I've ever seen in my life.
I apologize to my own children. This baby was way cuter than you.
The baby was a little doll. I wanted
she to. Is perfect.
Oh my God.
We just wanted to hold her and like kiss her and smell her head.
That's it.
So pretty.
Yes. Okay. Back to the letter. Unfortunately, the situation with my sister worsened. I wrote previously about how she does not treat me with decency and respect. Long story short, my sister stopped by to drop something off for me when my daughter was still a newborn. At this point, she hadn't met my daughter.
I just have to interject that I believe the sister was unvaccinated.
I believe the sister is a nurse and is also unvaccinated.
No, I meant that the mean sister is unvaccinated, and that was a reason for their friction. Like,
right.
She didn't want them to visit while she was pregnant.
Right. Her whole family, I think, is unvaccinated. Yeah. But I believe that sister who's unvaccinated is also a nurse.
Yeah, okay. I think so. Yeah.
At this point, she hadn't met my daughter. My sister made it clear that she was on her way to work and did not have time for a visit. I met her outside on the porch with my baby. When my sister asked to hold the baby, I told her no. She went from sadness to pleading to irate in the span of 30 seconds. She started yelling and cursing at me and threw a large Chinese menu and a gift card at me. All because I said, wait, she walked away yelling, fuck you. I'm going to say the fuck. You didn't write the fuck, but the fuck is warranted to me. She told me I'm insane and have serious issues, all because I said, no, you can't hold the baby right now. This all happened while I'm holding my sleeping baby and on my own front porch. Yeah. See the list of narcissistic qualities. See that list right now. Okay. I see a therapist, and she said my sister has all the hallmarks of a domestic abuser. The only thing my sister didn't do that abusers typically do was physically put her hands on me.
You know what? Even though it was a gift card and a menu,
yeah,
threw it. It will escalate.
Yeah, come on. She didn't physically put her hands on me, but my sister yelled, name called, cussed, and threw objects. She also has a pattern of doing nice things to reel me back in, and then an incident like this will happen. I am her target and have been all my life. The situation forced me to set a hard line. She is not welcome in my life anymore. I will not have my daughter grow up thinking it is okay to be treated like that. Accepting and acknowledging my sister's treatment as abuse has been difficult and has made me look at my entire childhood and early adulthood in a new light. I chose friends and romantic partners who were similar to her, people who would subtly put me down and belittle me. I'm thankful that I'm more aware now, and also thankful that I have a husband who does not do these things. It was difficult to set the firm boundary of not having my sister in my life, and it's painful to know I will never have a relationship with her that I would like to have, but it also feels great to know that I deserve people in my life who treat me with kindness. Thank you for your podcast and for helping me to see that. I'm armed with more knowledge of how to be a good friend and how to spot a good friend, thanks to you both. I'm hopeful that I will find some female friends that I can go closer to. All the best, hopeful mom. P.S. If you were wondering why I did not let my sister hold the baby, it's because I didn't trust her. I went outside with my baby against my better judgment. Part of me was afraid she wouldn't give my baby back when I asked her to. My husband and I are being very cautious about visitors because of COVID. But even if COVID wasn't a thing, if a new mom says, no, I'm not ready to have you hold my baby, then that should be okay. New moms go through a lot. And I think people should do what they can to support them, even if it's just respecting a simple no. True. 100%
and, you know, just a few things about that to our dear friend. Did she sign her? Well, she signed her name, but so to a new mama, I will say, be prepared for your mother to lay on the guilt trip.
So true.
Joss and I have both experienced this where the mom will say, I can't imagine that I'm never going to have all my kids under the same roof again. Mm-hmm. And also, you're being so unforgiving. She's sorry. Mm-hmm. What more do you need? Mm-hmm. Don't let your mother's insecurities make you change your mind. You know who your sister is. She has shown you for decades who she is. Mm-hmm. She yelled and screamed at you when you had a sleeping newborn in your arms.
Unbelievable.
So for your mom, she's going to say, this is a bad reflection of me. If my children don't get along, I want to be able to send the Christmas card of my children and grandchildren. Mm-hmm. I can't accept the fact that we'll never have a family gathering, even those family gatherings were fraught with misery and tension and fight. Mm-hmm. So stand by your guns and say, Mom, I understand how this is painful for you, but I am not willing to be around someone who is so abusive. That's not the role model I want to be for my daughter. Mm-hmm. I understand that it will take you some time to get used to this, but you have my answer and it's not going to change.
Yeah. And be prepared that if you do go to see your mom, you've made a date, you're going to go there with the baby. Your sister might be there because your mom is intent on having that perfect picture of a happy family. So be prepared to say, "Mom, you know my feelings about this," and stand up and walk out.
Right. And you can even ask, you know, I had to say this with my mom. And my sister and I were both like, are you a crazy mom? Because she was like, well, what if, you know, your brother just showed up and mm-hmm. then you were already there in the room? Like, Mom, mm-hmm. I would walk out and I would be furious with you. Like, she was trying to orchestrate this fantasy. And I don't blame her for having the fantasy. And it's been very painful, you know, to have a child who, you know, who doesn't see his family anymore. He doesn't see her either. That's when she finally started becoming okay with my sisters and my decision not mm-hmm. to engage. You can be very compassionate to your mother and still have your hard line. I will not see her. If she is here, if you surprise me with her, I'm leaving.
That's it.
And, you know, there's no room for negotiation here. None. Sorry that it hurts you, Mom. I have to do better for my child. And I love that you are inspired by being a mother to stronger and to choose better people to fill your life. You will not regret it.
No.
You know, there's the family that you came from and the family that you build. And, the you know, people don't have to be related to you to be your family. I mean, Joss and I are twin sisters as far as I'm
concerned. We are. I do understand how it's hard for people. We all are sort of culturally raised to have this idea of the perfect nuclear family in our minds. And oftentimes that's just not the case. And it's hard to get over that. And so definitely stick to your guns. You have the most gorgeous, beautiful baby I've ever seen. And she deserves you sticking to your guns and doing everything you can for her like that. She really does.
Yeah. And that's where your focus should be. Keep in mind that, you know, it may take a while for these feelings of like energy and anger and stuff to fade away, but they will, especially when you focus on your lovely husband and baby and stare into those enormous eyes. My gosh.
With the cheeks and then
cheeks and then that
hair. Her hair, it reminded me of those cute little troll dolls. It was just like, boom,
stands right up.
It was just hair.
If you could just send us like a picture every month or so, that would make us
very happy. I would love that so much.
We were born to be godmothers, right? Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net and please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends forever.